We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Christmas and one for Epiphany. And we'll send you this new CD for any size year-end donation. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size gift before the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Christmas and Epiphany sermons.
It's a story that's dear to Michelle and me as Christians, but it's a message that's universal. The child was born far from home to spread a simple message of love and redemption to every human being around the world.
Especially we praise you for Elizabeth, whom you have graciously received into your presence.
The beginning and the end of this story is attributable to a woman with extraordinary courage and extraordinary determination, and that's Elizabeth Smart.
I'm so thrilled to be here. I'm so thrilled with the verdict.
For the prayers of the saints, whether they are for big or small or even impossible things, are no bother to our Lord.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers, love, issues, etc.
You wouldn't think it would be, because the teaching of baptism, I think, is really very clear in the New Testament, beginning with John the Baptist, then Jesus talking about baptism to Nicodemus by night in John chapter 3. And then, golly, the last chapter of Matthew, he says, go make disciples by baptizing and teaching in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then we have Paul's teaching, and if you read Paul honestly, baptism is all over almost every one of his letters in the New Testament. And then you've got those images at the end of the New Testament, water of life and being washed in the blood of the Lamb and making their robes white, all this baptismal imagery. Some people say, no, that's not baptism, that's something else. So you wouldn't think that baptism would be the kind of obstacle to many evangelicals that it is, and yet it is. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Wednesday afternoon, the 15th of December. We're going to talk about teaching baptism to former evangelicals with Pastor Jeremy Rohde here in the first half hour of the program. In the second half hour, Pastor Brian Katchelmeyer joins us. We'll talk about worship in the Old Testament. It was pretty complicated stuff in the Old Testament. Does any of it at all still apply in the new? Bill Saunders joins us in the second hour of the program to bring us up to date on a case, ABC versus Ireland. It's a case being heard in front of the International European Court of Human Rights, and it's being called the Roe v. Wade of Europe. Then, for the remainder of that second hour of Issues, Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, Dr. Kim Riddlebarger joins us. He's done it again. Harold Camping predicted the end of the world back in 1994. He's taking another stab at it. He's got all of his Bible passages lined up. He's got his calendar dates all laid out, and he's saying May 21st, we really do not have very long, according to Harold Camping, May 21st of 2011, he can prove it from the Bible that the end of the world is coming. Dr. Kim Riddlebarger of the White Horse Inn will be our guest to take that one apart. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc. Joining us to talk about teaching baptism to former evangelicals, a pretty monumental task, Pastor Jeremy Rohde, pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Capistrano Beach, California. Pastor Rohde, welcome back.
Hi, thanks, Todd. So glad to be back.
We've talked with many former evangelicals, both as guests and as listeners, and they all will tell us, almost to a person, that when leaving evangelicalism, the Scripture's teaching on baptism was a real obstacle. Why is this?
Yeah, baptism is a hang-up for folks. Now, it's been my experience that as you dig into the Scriptures with them, the Scriptures will stand on their own and teach the proper doctrine of baptism. But many times they're coming to the Scriptures with an idea that Lutherans teach baptism as ex opera operato, as effective by the working of the work itself, as if baptism was a magic thing, something that saves you apart from faith. So they begin by saying, I'm not saved by baptism, I'm saved by faith. And as a Lutheran pastor, you see the problem right away. Baptism and faith aren't meant to be pitted against one another. Faith, in fact, comes from baptism and is strengthened by baptism.
We can't paint with too broad a brush here, but I think we could draw some general lines. What is the common evangelical view of what baptism is, what it does? How do they understand it?
The little phrase that I hear more often than not is that it is an outward sign of an inward reality or of an inward change. That is the most. That seems to be the most common evangelical quip that I get back.
What does that mean?
You're asking me. I think it might be different to every person, but what they're trying to say is that there's no reality to baptism. There's no power to it. Nothing's going on. It's just a symbol of a conversion that has taken place in their heart. So it's a symbolic affirmation on their part. It's an act of obedience that is a fruit of the conversion they've undergone.
I don't want to dwell too long on it, but I do have to ask another question, and that is, if that is what someone believes baptism is, then other than the fact that it's commanded, can they explain why it is commanded? Why Christ wants us to do it?
No, other than it being an act of obedience. In fact, that's precisely where I go pastorally and you know, depending on the person, the situation, always as gently as possible. But you say baptism is an outward sign of an inward reality. Show me where Scripture teaches that. Now that's where they fall flat on their face. They've been taught that this is true. They've been taught that this is what the Scriptures teach, but they've never actually gone to the Scriptures themselves. So we go into a passage like Romans 6 or any other baptismal passage, and you see that the language reflects anything but that strange philosophical idea.
Okay, let's deal with a couple of the objections, and if you would, do what you do. Answer these according to the clear teaching of Scripture with regard to baptism. Somebody simply says, look, baptism doesn't save. I'm not saved by baptism, I'm saved by faith. How would you answer that? You started your answer a few minutes ago.
Sure. I answer that question by again, even most evangelicals have an idea, have a concept of the means of grace. For them, it's the Word. So I'll ask them, where does your faith come from? And if I'm talking to someone who's knowledgeable, they're going to say, well, faith comes from hearing. And I'll say, precisely, faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of Christ. It's the Word itself that gives you faith. It's the Word, the gospel itself, that saves you. And so, though they would never really conceptualize it as a means of grace, the Word is a means of grace, and they have this. They understand this. So that's where I pick up with them on baptism. I say baptism is exactly the same thing. Baptism is the Word of God in and with water. Therefore, baptism saves, not by the power of the water, but by the power of the Word in and with the water. Baptism is a means of grace, a way in which God creates saving faith in you. And that's why Scripture says then baptism saves. Well, and then, of course, if they don't, if they're not going to agree with baptism saves, as many of them don't, then they don't really have a problem with me or with the Lutheran Church, but a problem with Scripture.
What Scripture in particular, with about a minute here before our break?
Sure. Well, you can go to any number of them. Maybe the two that are just the most clear would be 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. The ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight souls, were saved through water. There's also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll hang my hat on that one, and I'll do some pastoral work there, too, because Peter brings up the point, it's not the removal of the filth of the flesh, it's not an outward bath, but the answer of a good conscience. That is so foundational to the scriptural and Lutheran understanding of what baptism is. Baptism can give you a good conscience because you are directed outside of yourself, outside of your wrestling, outside of your self-righteous conscience or your despairing conscience, your guilty conscience, and you are directed towards baptism where God has done it, God has saved you. That gives you a good conscience.
Now, you mentioned there that passage, 1 Peter chapter 3. Something we've also heard commonly from former evangelicals is, I didn't even know that Bible passage existed. In fact, a lot of the passages I got shown on baptism, when I started struggling with it as this obstacle we're discussing, no one had ever taught me anything about them. Is that pretty common in your experience? About a minute here.
Yes, I think that's true. Oftentimes, as I'm going through these passages with people, their eyes are just wide open and their mouths are dropping, and they're saying, my goodness, it's right there. And often I'll say, compare that to what you've been taught. And they'll say, it doesn't compare. I have no category for this. There it is, the words of Scripture. God doesn't lie. And that's the beginning.
By the way, folks, that First Peter passage isn't alone, where Peter says, baptism now saves you. There's another one, and we'll talk about it on the other side of the break. In fact, there are several others, but I'm thinking in particular of Titus chapter 3, where he just comes flat out and says it. This is Paul, not Peter, saying, when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. There again, it's baptism. We're talking about teaching baptism to former evangelicals. Pastor Jeremy Rohde is our guest. He's pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Capistrano Beach, California. You can join us with questions or comments as well. We're coming to you live this Wednesday. It's the 15th of December. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio. talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @IssuesETC, or if you got some time, visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. If you're not already a fan, just click like, and you'll become one. IssuesETC, that's facebook.com/IssuesETC.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
We have some great programs lined up for you during the Christmas season, and here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. Christmas programming. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Christmas programming bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekends of December 18th and 25th. Talk radio for the Christmas season. Issues Etc. IssuesETC.org and click support.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Christmas is coming soon, and we have some great Christmas programs lined up for the week of Christmas here on Issues Etc. We would like you to help us out this weekend and the coming weekend. In your congregation on Sunday morning, we have a Christmas bulletin insert that explains all of the great programming that we got coming up over the Christmas season for you here on Issues Etc., and you can tell your fellow parishioners about it by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. You'll find there, right at the top of the page, the bulletin insert for the Christmas season for Issues Etc. You can download it, print it off, take it to your church secretary or to your pastor and ask them to include it in your church's Sunday bulletin this Sunday and the coming Sunday. This Sunday and the coming Sunday. Issuesetc.org. Click support. You'll find there the Issues Etc. Christmas bulletin insert. Pastor Jeremy Rohde is our guest. We're talking about teaching baptism to former evangelicals. Let's talk about Titus chapter 3 then, Pastor Rohde. What does it say there?
Sure. Titus chapter 3, 4 through 6, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." It doesn't get much clearer than that, does it?
Okay. There are a couple others, and then you have a unique argument that I have not heard before, but I think it is rather compelling. Of course, there is Acts chapter 2, where Peter himself says, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For the forgiveness of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." But you kind of put together the teachings of the book of Romans chapter 6 and elsewhere, where Paul is saying all of these things that come through baptism, all these things that are yours through baptism, and then you kind of paint the former evangelical or the kind of considering evangelical into a corner a little bit, saying, look at everything that the Bible says about baptism and what it brings. If you think it's your act of obedience, aren't you saying that by your obedience you've earned all these things?
Yes, precisely. When you look at those verses, 1 Peter, that baptism now saves us, Titus 3, that he saved us through baptism, the washing of regeneration, renewal, and the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, baptism for the forgiveness of sins, then you're going to say, baptism is my act. Well, that's a confusion of law and gospel. That's an aspect of supreme self-righteousness. I don't know of anyone who really, when you hold their feet to the fire, is going to say, "Oh yes, I've chosen and earned and merited all of that." So rather, then at that point in time, I feed them the words, "Well then if it's not you, it's God. Baptism is God's gracious gift and promise to you." Once you get that, you're Lutheran.
Another obstacle for evangelicals regarding Scripture's teaching on baptism is the water. They will simply ask, "I understand that the word is powerful, but what's with the water?"
Yes. Now, these are victims of spiritual abuse. People just have a hard time getting over the fact that all these blessings come through in just a little bit of word and just a little bit of water. And who can blame them? Their only experience with baptism is seeing Pastor tell a joke standing in his swimsuit in a jacuzzi. And that doesn't quite impress upon you the dignity of what God himself is doing by water and his word. Luther, the consummate pastoral theologian, has this great line in one of his hymns: "All that the mortal eye beholds is water as we pour it. Before the eye of faith unfolds the power of Jesus' merit. For here it sees the crimson flood to all our ills bring healing. The wonders of his precious blood, the love of God revealing, assuring his own pardon." Luther nails it. What we see with our human eye is just simple water being poured. What we understand with our eyes of faith, with our ears of faith, is that this is God's word and a truly powerful thing, a thing of God, hidden under the weakness and lowliness of water. Not unlike Christ Jesus himself, God incarnate in the flesh, God hiding himself in the lowliness of human form.
Bridget in Tucson, Arizona emails us, says, "This program has been helpful to me. As an evangelical, I have many times felt uncomfortable when some of those passages you mention have been handled, as the interpretations have seemed forced and unnatural, and so as not to teach baptismal regeneration. I'm always amazed when Romans 6 is brought up in baptismal services during the teaching time explaining baptism. Sometimes it is dealt with as referring to spirit baptism. And when they use it to refer to as water baptism, it's not really congruent with the explanation they go on to give. One thing that would cause me to wonder about the efficacy of baptism is this. Wouldn't you think that there would be a greater percentage of Lutheran young people that would not leave the faith as they've been baptized as infants, as compared to evangelical youth that have not been baptized yet? I haven't seen this, at least in my limited observation. That's actually a rather old argument against infant baptism, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And in fact, it's. I can appreciate the reasoning behind it. The problem with it is it underestimates the old Adam in each of us, and an old Adam that rebels and resists all the more with the presence of God's Word, God's gifts, and God's teaching. Plenty fall away in all churches, and they're falling away either from the Word of God or the Word of God in and with the water. And that's a function of the old Adam clinging to us. And all of the admonitions given in Scripture that we set before our eyes, the promises of God that will hold us steadfast in the faith until the end.
Luther will make the argument that gold is still gold even though a harlot wears the gold. Whether it's a queen or a harlot, he says baptism, even if it is abused and despised, remains the thing it is by God's Word.
That is absolutely right. As Luther also says in the Large Catechism, to be baptized in God's name is to be baptized not by men, but by God himself. That is where, according to Jesus in John 3, in baptism he is giving you new birth through water and the Spirit, a single new birth that includes both water and the Spirit. That's how Jesus teaches it. In this new birth, you become a son of God or a daughter of God. That's God's action. So God has formally adopted you. You are his. Now, can you walk away from that? Well, sure, you can walk away from that. No different than, for instance, the prodigal son walked away from his father. But as far as the father is concerned, you are always his son, always his child. And he can't wait for your return. Not that you can make it up to him, but that rather he can reclothe you in that robe that is Christ. And that's what Paul teaches in Galatians 3. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When you return, he re-robes you in Christ's perfect righteousness.
Here's one more, and that's all we have time for, Pastor. Someone simply says, look, when it comes to baptizing those babies, you guys are playing God. A child should be allowed to decide whether or not to be baptized. It's that personal decision. And when you baptize your child as a baby, you're making the decision for them. You're playing God. Your response to that with a couple minutes here.
I love this argument. I just heard it for the first time not too long ago. And at first, upon hearing it, I was a little bit indignant, and I was ready to, really get after this guy. But the more I thought about that statement that he made, the more I thought about that argument, the more I liked it. That is precisely what we do. Parents that baptize their babies are playing God, and that is exactly what God has called them to do. Parents don't wait for their newborns to ask for a bath or make a decision to have a bath. Parents know their little ones need baths. They give them baths. Parents know what's best for their child, and that's why they're parents. So moms and dads vocationally play God all the time. And in fact, God institutes this in his fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. This is the fourth commandment, but it really is the first commandment when it comes to our relationships with other human beings. The first three having to do with our relationship with God, and the last having to do with our relationship with other human beings. So mom and dad come second only to God himself. And obviously, parents, children, both fail in their roles, and that's why God sends his son to die, to take away the sins of fathers against sons and sons against fathers, to take away the sins of mothers against daughters, daughters against mothers. God covers it all with the forgiveness that costs the blood of his son. But getting to this idea of playing God vocationally, They play God even Sunday mornings when they insist that their children accompany them to the church. And that's what God's own word teaches. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. According to God's own word, you are to raise your children, not as neutral thinkers who need to make their own spiritual decisions, but you're to raise them in the training and admonition of the Lord. Baptism is certainly included in that.
With only about 30 seconds, what is the comfort of knowing, finally, the true teaching of Holy Scripture regarding baptism? 30 seconds, Pastor Rohde.
Baptism takes it all out of your hands. Baptism says it doesn't matter whether you have been guilty of sin, whether you've been guilty of lack of belief. It doesn't matter the condition of your conscience. Baptism takes you outside of yourself and points you to an objective, external thing that God has done for you. I have baptized you into my Son, Jesus Christ, into his death for the forgiveness of your sins, into his resurrection, that you also might be resurrected from the dead. This is my promise and guarantee to you.
Pastor Jeremy Rohde is pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Capistrano Beach, California. Pastor Rohde, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking about worship in the Old Testament. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. He's author of a papal title, Contemporary Worship in the Old Testament Scriptures. Stay tuned. How would you like to win the entire 18-book Christmas Library of Archbooks for Children? Become a new member of our monthly or annual giving program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, or upgrade your current membership before December 22nd. Your name will be added to a drawing, and the winner will receive an entire set of Christmas Archbooks for Children by Concordia Publishing House. We'll announce the winner Wednesday, December 22nd. Join or upgrade your membership in the Issues Etc. Reformation Club today.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Grace, Faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Martin Haskell is a late-term abortionist whose claim to fame is developing the grisly partial birth abortion procedure. In other words, killing a baby during delivery. He's relocating his killing center from Cincinnati to one of the suburbs, and he's not making any friends, particularly with a group of pediatricians. He moved into an office just 50 feet from their front door. They've been working to protect the health of children for decades and are furious with the abortionist relocation. Dr. Steve Brin spoke for the group when he said, "We will do anything in our power to vocalize our personal disgust with their mission. It's a slap in the face to any physician who treasures saving lives and helping kids." Reading his remarks gives me faith there are more good doctors than bad.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.